unless we're experiencing a thunder and lightning storm like this one, where colossal amounts of electricity are discharged into the air above us, the subject of energy is something that most of us rarely think about. In our normal day-to-day lives, we simply assume that, for example, energy in the form of petrol will always be there to fill the fuel tanks in our cars, and that energy in the form of electricity will flow from the wall sockets in our houses at the flick of a switch. But over the next few months, I'm going to examine the subject of energy in a lot more detail, where it comes from, how it's used, and at the risk of sounding overdramatic, its vital importance to civilization as we know it. I'll be looking at the ways in which energy has transformed human life throughout history, from the Paleolithic to the Space Age, and I'll be talking to energy economists and international energy experts about the importance of energy to global society. Then, in the last half of the series, I'll narrow my focus to New Zealand. I'll look at our energy resources and consumption, and I'll talk to New Zealanders in the energy sector as well as our government policymakers. Finally, I'll attempt to look into the future, and I'll find out what we should be doing as a country to meet the energy challenges over the next few decades. When you really think about it, it's humankind's ability to capture and harness energy, over and above the simple food energy that all organisms obtain, that actually makes human beings what we are. Our ability to capture this non-food energy impinges upon all aspects of our existence. For example, captured energy was required to manufacture every article of clothing that you're wearing right now. Captured energy was required to fertilize, harvest, transport, or refrigerate virtually every item of food that you've ever tasted. And captured energy was required to manufacture every implement or tool that you've ever used, from knives and forks, to screwdrivers, to alarm clocks, to the roof over your head. Captured energy is, quite literally, the lifeblood of civilization. Without energy, the cars and buses don't run, water doesn't come out of the taps, and our high-tech hospitals become nothing more than unrefrigerated mortuaries. Without captured energy, humankind is back in the Stone Age. In fact, we're back in the really bad bit of the Stone Age, the bit before fire was even discovered. But what exactly is energy? It's actually surprisingly hard to define. Before we think about energy, we've got to talk about something called work. I'm using an old-fashioned block and tackle to lift some sacks of cement about 2 meters up into the air. In the normal sense of the word, I'm finding it to be hard work. But the word work also has a specialized scientific definition. In a scientific sense, work is performed when a force is applied to an object and that object undergoes movement. This scientific work, measured in joules, is simply the force acting on the object multiplied by the amount of displacement that it causes. In my particular case, I'm applying a force to the sacks of cement via a rope in order to overcome the Earth's gravitational pull. The mass of cement is 100 kilograms, and therefore it weighs about 1,000 newtons under the Earth's gravitational field. So when my arms apply 1,000 newtons of force to lift the sacks of cement about 2 meters into the air, then I've performed 2,000 joules of work. Now, work is important because it's the way we see what energy actually does. Energy itself is rather intangible, and so in scientific terms, energy is most often defined simply as the ability to do work. So let's get back to my sacks of cement. If a normal person were to look at me, they would simply see a sweaty geezer hauling on a rope. But to the eyes of a scientist, I'm doing 2,000 joules of work in lifting the sacks of cement, which tells them that 2,000 joules of energy must be flowing in a Harry Potter-like manner from my fingers to the rope. Of course, energy can take many different forms. It could, for example, be kinetic energy contained in a quantity of air which moves rapidly through a wind turbine like this one and performs work on the rotor blades. Or it could be the gravitational potential energy contained in a quantity of water sitting in a dam, which can be allowed to fall under the Earth's gravity and perform work on a water turbine. Or it could be the chemical energy contained in a fuel such as petrol, which is converted to thermal energy or heat when it burns and expands the air inside a cylinder so that work is performed on a piston. Or it could even be electrical energy, which flows through coils to induce a magnetic field and performs work on the rotor of an electric motor. But in terms of the way we generally use energy in society, it's not just quantity that's important, but also the rate with which energy can be turned into work. The amount of work done per unit time is called power, and it's measured in watts, where 1 watt is equal to 1 joule of work done every second. And to prove that no effort has been spared in bringing you this program, I've just climbed all the way up the staircase in Auckland's Sky Tower building. Along the way, I've been measuring both my work and my power output. It's taken me 14 minutes to raise my 85 kilogram body up 234 vertical meters of staircase, which equates to 195,000 joules of work performed. I'm feeling really quite tired, but that's only about the same amount of energy as contained in just 7 milliliters of petrol, around 1 cent's worth at current prices. I started my climb running up the stairs at the bottom with a power output of just over 1,000 watts or 1,000 joules of work done every second. But I just finished my climb at a rather slow walk and a power output of only 200 watts. My average power output during the whole climb was a mere 227 watts. To put that into perspective, the power output of a 50cc motor scooter is around 2,000 watts. The power output of a medium-sized car is around 100,000 watts. And the power output of the engines in a Boeing 747-400 is more than 140 million watts. Those numbers are rather overwhelming, but now that we have an understanding of basic concepts such as work and power, we can begin to discuss the subject of energy in more depth. I'm making a start by using my relatively meager human power output to make fire, literally by rubbing two sticks together, and I'm not having much luck, although happily, just then, I managed to get a bit of smoke. But more on that next week when we go back to the dawn of time and look at the way that energy has been used throughout the entire course of human history.